Children, come join me on this side today. Make room for Brother Dusty. Let me get right here in the middle here, okay? All right. There we go. How's everybody today?
Good.
Isn't it a beautiful day outside? Man, I like those boots. Can I wear them sometime? No? Okay. All right. I got a story I want to tell you today. Jesus was teaching one time. He did a lot of teaching, you know. And a big crowd of people showed up. In fact, the Bible says in the Gospel of John, 5,000 men showed up. Didn't include the women. So there were women and children there. And we know there was one little boy there. Can you imagine that? 5,000 people. His disciples were reminding him, saying, Jesus, you know it's getting close to dinner time. What are we going to do with all these people? Because what happens at dinner time? You get hungry. You're ready to eat. So his disciples are in the back, and they're wondering. They're putting their money together, and they're saying, man, we hadn't got enough money to go to town and buy enough food to feed all these people. What are we going to do? So, a little boy comes forward. Little guy. His mom had packed his lunch that morning. And he had 5 loaves, the scripture says, which is like little biscuits, and 2 fish. His disciples said, man, we looked through everybody. This is all the food we could come up with. So, I brought some loaves to show you. That's right. That's right. And we're going to count out. Let's see what we've got here. We're going to count out 5. 1. 1, 2. 3, 4, 5. Okay. And he had fish too. But 5, look at it. Okay. See there? 5, look. Now, Jesus said a blessing over the food. And the scripture says he broke it. He broke the bread. And then they started passing it around. Okay? We're passing it around. Just pretend you're getting enough for a whole meal. Okay? All right? Just pretend. Everybody. Here you go. Who else wants some? Here we go. Are you hungry?
Not me.
Not me.
Here we go. Who's hungry? You want a piece?
Not me.
All right. You want a piece? All right. There we go. Who else? You want a piece, Jesse? Okay. Nobody? Okay. All right. Now, do you know what? Think of this now. I want you to think of it. 5 little pieces of bread. Like little biscuits and 2 fish. And as they broke it, everybody, turn around and look behind you. Now, this isn't 5,000 people plus then the women plus the children, is it? But do you think you could feed that many people?
No.
A whole meal?
No.
I couldn't feed you. There are about a dozen of us right here. I couldn't feed you with 5 biscuits and 2 fish. But they did.
You did.
They did that day. As they broke it, it multiplied. And it multiplied and it multiplied. And you know what happened? At the end of the day, he sent his disciples around with baskets to collect what was left over. Does anybody know what was left over?
12
baskets full of bread and fish. Can you imagine that? What would you call what happened that day? God made a lot. That's exactly right, Elisha. That's exactly. God made a lot. God did it. And what do we call that when God does something like that? That is a miracle. That's right. There, bullfrog. That is exactly right. Do you believe God can do things like that today?
Yes, magic's amazing.
Yes, He can, because He's God. He can do anything. As we pray, I want you to think about all the things in your life where you need to hear from God and for God to do something great and mighty in your life. Is anything too big for God?
No.
No. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for these children. Lord, today, may your word go straight to our hearts. Thank you, Lord, that you're bigger than any need that we have. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, y'all can go to Kids Zone. Follow Miss Maya. I love that. Those children, God can do it. He can do it. When I was a little guy, I would hear my grandmother talk about her brother. His name was Walton, Uncle Walton. I never got to see him but a handful of times because he always lived far away. He'd come to town. Now, he had a gaggle of sisters, and then it was one brother. Can you imagine growing up with that? There was always plenty of mothering and advice to go around. He turned out to be one of the finest men in the world. He was a tall drink of water. A great guy, wonderful personality, was always taking care of other people all of his life. Uncle Walton did quite well in his job, and I think probably the stock market, and he was worth a few dimes before he left this place. And people were always calling on him for money. In fact, family members would call him, and I remember one. I don't know why this figure sticks in my head, but and this is years ago that he gave one of the family members that they needed $30,000. You got your mind wrapped around it now? Did that get your attention? This is years and years ago. But I wonder sometimes. A lot of people really didn't know him. What they knew about him was his wealth. The dollar amount that was associated with him. Now, every time he ever came to town, when people would see him, he would be the one would pick up the check. Always. Always. Just a great guy. A great guy. One of my cousins, we were getting together one day, and we were talking about him, and something came out that described what was on everybody's heart. He said, "Well, when is Uncle Walton coming to town?" A slip. I wonder how many people really ever knew him and can get past what he could do for them. You following me? If you have your Bible, turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 6, which is where that story of the feeding of the 5,000 comes from. And we're going to begin reading at verse 26, but let me set it up for you. Yes, Jesus has been out teaching. A large crowd has followed him. Verse 2 says, they followed him because they saw the signs which he was performing on those who were sick. He goes up into the mountain. So already the crowd is coming to him. And why do you think a lot of those people were following him? Well, they could get out of him. That's right. They wanted to be healed. They wanted to see power. So then, you know, you've got this crowd of people. I mean, there are thousands of people that are there. And this great miracle takes place. Verse 15 of chapter 6 says, so Jesus, perceiving that they were intending to come and take him by force to make him king, withdrew again into the mountain by himself alone. This is always the pop culture thing where people were intersecting their desire for an earthly king, and it just happened to fit what the scripture said, because they wanted to get rid. Even this desire was based on their prurient interests, their human interest that they could make him king and get the ugly Romans out of their country. As you look at the historical background. Verse 16 says, now when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, and after getting into the boat, they started to cross the sea to Capernaum. And then we have the story of that. There he is. He's gotten alone by himself. His disciples are going to cross to the other side. There's crowds there. They were wanting to get away from the crowds. He was wanting to get away from the crowds. And so what happens to him in the sea? Scripture says, verse 19, when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea. There was a strong, strong wind. They were fearing for their lives, and Jesus comes walking on the water to them. Verse 21 says, they were willing to receive him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land to which they were going. The next day, verse 22, the crowd stood on the other side of the sea and saw there was no other small boat there except one. Jesus had not entered with his disciples into the boat, but his disciples had gone away alone. There came other small boats from Tiberias near to the place where they ate the bread after the Lord had given thanks. What's happening? Word's gotten around. And so what are the people doing? The crowd is coming. They're coming. So when the crowd saw Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into small boats and came to Capernaum seeking him. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Let me ask you, was that really the question that was in their hearts? Was that really what they were interested in? Let's see. We'll see as we read on. Verse 26, which is our passage for the day. So Jesus answered them and he said, truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him the Father God has set his seal. Now, do you think they're understanding this? Let's see. Therefore, they answered to him. Now, these are these people that have traveled across the Sea of Galilee now to follow him. They've seen him do these great works of healing. They have seen the feeding of the 5,000. They've witnessed that. There before their eyes, they see this great miracle. And what do they say? What shall we do so that we may work the works of God? What's the question? Is it so we can do the work you have come for, Jesus? Is that really what they're asking in that question? Or are they asking, what have we got to do so we can do what you just did? So we can multiply bread and everybody can be healed. What are they missing in this? Something's missing. Jesus answered, verse 29, he said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. Ooh. What works were they thinking of? Verse 30. So he said to him, what then do you do for a sign so we may see and believe in you? What work do you perform? Wait a second. They're asking for more signs? Come on. They're asking for him to reveal more things that's going to show his power. They've already seen these miracles. Verse 31, our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, that is written. He gave them bread out of heaven to eat. And what did the Israelites do in the wilderness after they were given the bread every day, the manna every day? What came from their mouths and their hearts? Complaints. We're tired of this. They've got a full belly. They're out wandering in the wilderness, and they've got a full belly, and they're complaining. What does the Lord do? In His mercy and in His grace, does He give them what they deserve? No. Does He give them more than that? Yes, His grace is operative. So what did He give them? Quail. Man, that's pretty good. Quail. Enough of it. So that's the picture here. He gave them bread to eat out of heaven. And Jesus then said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread out of heaven. But it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. Now get this, because he is about to do something that is going to make the Pharisees and the religious leaders very angry. Verse 33, for the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. So we see that manna and the quail, that God giving that is a picture, it's a type of something that was going to come, of someone who was coming. Get it? They said to him, Lord, always give us this bread. They still don't get it, do they? They're still wanting to line up for the baskets, to line up for the manna, to line up for the quail, to line up for, oh God, I've got a headache today. Heal that today, please. I've got this ache or this pain. God, heal that today. They're lining up for that. They still don't get it. Verse 35, then Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Now, what does he just say? He's illustrated with the manna that came not by, Moses was just the distributor of what God gave. Book of Hebrews said, and I quoted it last week, probably forgotten it by now. God, who in these last days has spoken unto us by His Son. He's the bread of life. And he who comes to me will not hunger. What's he talking about? Is he talking about a stomach here? The only way he could be talking about a stomach if it was a manifestation of something that was deeper on the inside and bigger than that. He who believes in me will never thirst. But I said to you that have seen me and yet you do not believe. They see. What would happen? What happened when they watched Lazarus walk out of the tomb? Now, we say, oh, I just want to see God do a marvelous thing. He's in the grave 4 days. Because the Jews believed that 3 days the spirit hung around. 4 days. So you put that belief to rest. 4 days he's in there. He comes walking out when Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth. And what do some of those wags do there? Do they fall down their faces? What do they? They carry tales back to the religious leaders. Is that not the most asinine thing you have ever heard in your life? How can you be in that much disbelief? You've seen it with your own eyes. But you see, that's the thing about faith. It's a personal choice. You must choose. And you get to choose. Some of you, some of us, are under the mistaken impression, if this happened, if this great miracle happened, then all... Maybe. Maybe not. Because at last what we're talking about is choosing a person. Look at the rest of what he said. But I said to you that, verse 36, they have seen me and yet do not believe. All me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out. What's he saying there? I am the revelation of God Himself. I am God in the flesh. Everything that the Lord promised is being shown in me. And everybody that comes to me in this simple faith, I'm not going to throw them out. I'm going to receive all of them. Every man, whosoever that will come, anyhow, any way, that's who he's receiving. Verse 38. For I've come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but to do the will of him who sent me, his Father, Yahweh. This is the will of him who sent me, that of all that he has given me, I will lose nothing, but will raise it up on the last day. There's your verse that proves your security in Christ. That once you come to Jesus, he doesn't lose anyone out of his hand. We're all secure. And we will be raised with him. For this is the will of the Father, verse 40, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in Him will have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day. Everyone who sees the Son of God. You see, here's part of our calling here. Our calling is to be part of that jerking the curtain so people can see. To have our lives so shiny with Jesus that we reflect the image of the Son to all the people around us so they can see clearly. By the way, title of this message, His Hand or His Heart? What do you see? What do you see? Are you seeking the bread, the fish? Are you seeking the signs? Prove to me today, again. Let me ask you, how many times do you have to have it proved to you before you see? Do you just want what God can do for you, or do you want Him? Uncle Wallet. I made the mistake several times of getting between a child and his mother. What can I say? Yeah, I live to tell about it, but that's a dangerous place. Because, think about this with me. Wrap your mind around this one. No matter what that child does, what does it do to a mother's love? Is there anything a child can do? Because at last, it seems to bubble up. And just when you think, oh, I'm comfortable in saying that, man, that mama bear just rises up and you're toast. You're the next meal. Because it's something that is on the inside. It's not something you wear on the outside. Same in this. Are we seeking God's hand, something that we see on the exterior that we want God to do for us, or are we seeking His heart? We're growing deeper and deeper in love with Him as He prepares us to spend forever together. I had a grandson born last Sunday. You wondered how I was going to get this in here today. Just didn't want to disappoint you. Last Sunday afternoon, we'd get Megan, and those of you who saw her when she was here, and seeing that child grow in her. We had her on FaceTime the other day at the hospital with Audrey's mom, and said, "See here, Granny," and Audrey says, "Megan, let Granny see your belly. Let her see." There was such anticipation, you know, and Granny, she just sat there and she was looking at, she was holding on to that iPad, and she was just looking at it and she was touching Megan's belly. She just couldn't stand it. I'm crazy now. Because I know now, and I can't wait to get my hands on him. Just to hold him. You know, just for him to sit right here. To be right here. It's not about anything that he does, because it's all about this connection. This heart connection. Do you get me? It's about something that is supernatural. It's a bond there. But let me tell you, even that bond pales into insignificance when you think about the bond that the Lord wants with us. He says, anybody that comes to me, I'm not going to throw them out. Anybody that believes in me, I'm not going to reject them. Anybody that will come to me in faith and trust will turn from their sin, turn from their way, and turn to me. They're going to belong to me, and I'm going to look out for them for all eternity. Why not get a head start right now on that relationship? Growing deeper with Him. And what does it have to look like? Well, one group of Christians over here says it has to look this way. If you're really walking with God, it's going to look this way. Got another group over here. Oh man, if you're walking with God, it's going to look this way. Another group over here. And choose your poison there as to what it has to look like. You know what? I think some of us are going to be mighty surprised when we get to heaven and we realize that God's ring is a little bit bigger than ours is here. Because we see the plan and purpose of God working out in people's lives. And they're changed by Him. Their lives are changed. What am I preaching today? Seek His heart, not His hand. The hand will follow. Yes, we pray for miracles. We pray for God to do that. But it comes out of a heart. The other night, Audrey and I were having a late meal, and we were sitting there talking about things and trying our best not to become those old people that just sit and just eat their meal, and they never say a word to one another. And, you know, we're looking at one another and we're talking, and I looked at another table over there. There was this couple. I thought my shoes are older than them. And they're looking at each other, and it's like their glance was going right into one another's soul. It's a beautiful picture. It's a beautiful picture. A beautiful illustration. Now, by the way, they don't know jack squat about each other right now. The test is going to be when they get to be 60 years old, if they can still look into one another's eyes. There's the test. Because it's true love. It's true commitment. It's being with Him. Doesn't always feel good. It's not always convenient. You don't always agree. It's not always easy. You have all these other things going on. Let me tell you, your relationship with the Lord, there's nothing more important than that in the earth right now. What are you doing to feed that relationship? What are you doing about it? If you're missing what Rick is doing at 9:30 as he's leading us in that, you're missing a blessing. He's talking about passion. What about it? What about your relationship with the Lord? Do you just want his hand? And then when he gets through doing for you, I'm through with you for now. Or are you seeking his heart? And the people around you can see that, by the way. It's plain. Let's pray. Go open the altar today. And we're inviting you to come and to renew this heart relationship. His hand, his heart. The altar's open today. Come. Come and say, Lord, I want to take a step closer to you. Has the Lord moved? Who moved? Lord, right now I thank you for your presence and your power. I thank you that the Holy Spirit is in this room right now, the very Spirit of God himself. And Lord, as we open this altar today and we say to you, Lord, thank you. Lord, I thank you that you love me in spite of all the wicked things of my life where I was disobedient to you. The times when I shook my fist in your face and I said no. Lord, I thank you for your forgiveness. I thank you for your love and I thank you for your mercy. Lord, today, Lord, we got a lot of needs. A lot of things that we could put as we say, Lord, we need your hand. We need your right hand of power today, Lord. But Lord, we need your face more than that. We need a relationship. We need to deepen it, Lord, today with you. Lord, so people will see. Lord, let us become that people who has a heart after God. And it shows. Lord, thank you. Your pastors will be here. You want to pray with us, but the altar's open. Some of you have told me in recent days, you have said, I want to be closer to the Lord. Well, today's a good day to start that journey and say, Lord, what is it? I'm seeking your face today. The altar's open. We continue to pray, invite you to bring, if you have an offering to bring, those cards, we've got baskets up here, basket in the back, you can bring them. And as you're doing that, I just want to give you a praise. Many of y'all have been praying for Audrey's mom. And you know, yesterday we just had a delightful time together. She spent several days not, you know, she was hallucinating, she was seeing things, she was in the room, she was not in her right mind, I don't know if it's medication or what, but yesterday, to see her come back, it's just a glory, you know, to, and the way I knew she was back was she was zinging me, and, As she's done all my, you know, ever since I've known her these 40 years. And what a blessing and an answer to prayer. And I just have to give praise to God today. Thank you. Well, I guess we're done. That's it. Anything else, Dave? Ricky? Don wanted me to show you this. What is this? This beautiful hat and a matching scarf for something that was going on today. Yes, yes, yes. You and Daniel. All right. Let me send you out, okay? Send you out in the name of the Lord. By the way, we still haven't gotten that $1 million check yet. We've still been looking for that thing. And if you're sitting on it, we put it in today. If we need to wait a day or two, we'll wait a day or two and then we'll cash it. Let's pray together. Now, Lord, we ask you to send us out. Send us out in the power of the Holy Spirit with the love of Jesus the Christ and under the authority of Yahweh, our Father. Amen.